This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Okay, it is hour number three of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Time to take a look at Cowboys Twitter. We have Jerry quotables from his appearance with Sean and RJ this morning. A lot of headlines coming off of that. We go first to the account of Tom Pelissero, NFL Network reporter. He tweets that the Cowboys have signed veteran tackle Jordan Mills to the practice squad, per the wire. So congratulations to Jordan Mills. I don't know if he's going to play or not.
Never heard of him.
Yeah, but... he is. He was drafted by the Bears in the fifth round of the 2013 draft. He played college at Louisiana Tech University. 29 years old, and he's got a little bit of experience under his belt. A number of starts as well. 2016, 17, and 18. He started 16 games for Buffalo.
Yes.
So here's a guy that, you know, for at least a while teams felt like could be a factor, and I'll wait to hear from you guys as far as what he has here in 2020 once you get a chance to examine it and all that. I just wanted to say I'm not too worried about it. I don't think it's got to be a panic move, and I think the reason is we're seeing just how much of it was Garrett's fault. You know, you can lose some dudes, and it doesn't have to be a complete disaster, and that's, I think, what Dak and Kellen and Mike McCarthy, Doug Nussmeier have proved so far to me in these three games.
Yeah, they really are struggling on the offensive line, though. I think when you go and you rewatch these games, it's run and it's pass. I thought they got better when they kicked Zach Martin out to tackle and put Biadasz in the game and took Terrence Steele off the field. I thought that was a better look for them. I'll be interested to hear what they have to say about the idea of, was that a, hey, this is how we're going to finish this game out, or is that a, Lyle Collins is not here and he may not be back soon, so this might be something we're going to do going forward. But, you know, they're in a tough spot on the offensive line. I don't think any team is ready when they're going into a season, because remember, Cam Irving was the swing tackle. So your top tackles, in theory, were Tyron, LC, then Cam Irving, then whoever else.
Yeah.
And currently, whoever else, number one and number two, are starting. No team is equipped for that. And on top of that, your left guard ain't real good.
I hear you. Hey, I have no problem with them investing and improving, because you're right. It has been troublesome, and maybe it gets worse starting with, you know, Myles Garrett and some of these tougher defenses you're going to face, the Steelers and all that in the future.
Olivier Vernon playing for the – yeah, he's – Olivier Vernon used to give Tyron Smith all kinds of problems when he was with the Giants. That was the one guy, and then he was with the Dolphins that one time. So, yeah, that was it's not going to be easy having to deal with these two cats this week.
All right, G-Bag Nation, elsewhere on Cowboys Twitter, if you missed it last hour, John McClain of the Houston Chronicle, a longtime Texans writer, NFL insider, tweeting that the Texans won't be signing Earl Thomas. Do you guys think Brandon Carr coming really has, you know, talked about it and clarified? Because the Cowboys were cryptic and, ooh, we're not going to share what we want because, you know, we don't talk about guys and then we get them. And now it's like they're distancing like it's... You know, they want nothing to do with this dude. I think, you know, as the more people talk that have been teammates with Earl Thomas, the more people are believing it. And it's interesting how for so long in his Seattle career, this part of his image or personality never really came out. I thought of him nothing but a team leader and an exceptional professional.
I'd always heard he was different. That was a word I'd heard about Earl, but never the things that I think a lot of people, including myself, have heard over the last at least calendar year about Earl Thomas that's going to make it tough for him to find a football team right now. But if you're the Cowboys, look, maybe it's Earl and maybe it's not Earl. I don't know. But that's the part. This team has a chance. They're 1-2. They could be 0-3. But this team has a chance, because I think when they get the protection, this offense is going to be a juggernaut. you've got a chance. But when you watch them week by week and you watch this team cover, it's
horrible.
Not good.
No.
And when you watch the safety play, to me, okay, so the Seahawk game, I think it's hard to tell without knowing exactly everyone's responsibility on every defensive play. But either way, somebody that's playing safety, at least one of the two, and on some of the plays,
yeah,
two of the two, are either lost or not doing their responsibilities or guessing. That part of this team, I don't know what you do, because I just don't think you have the horses when it comes to the secondary this year. So if you have an opportunity to do something about it, it's tempting. And look, I'm also on this side of it. I think there's a lot of people who are like, well, it's been long enough and your safeties aren't good. You have to sign Earl. 32 teams, quote, have to sign Earl.
Right.
And not one of them wants to.
Right.
So let's chill out with, like, how dare you not sign Earl Thomas?
Great point.
No one in the league wants
you
him
should
right
do
now.
Something, though.
Well, I'll tell you this. I feel like that if the previous regime was still here, Earl Thomas would be on this team. I
okay.
do. I think Garrett would welcome it, and I think Chris Richard would rubber stamp it. And I think I think that that's where, and that there's your, but they have done a lot of work on this. They have people they've talked to about it. So yeah, I mean, whether it's right or wrong, you know, Jeff's right. Their safety play has been awful. And you know, does Earl Thomas help the safety play? Is he a Pro Bowler that busts in the back end because he doesn't know what he's doing? Well, maybe it's better than what you're playing with right now.
You know, I'll trust them. They've been doing the work. But, you know, I think of guys like Charles Haley, who was way beyond, you know, what this is, a champion. You know, he was a difference maker. I think of how everybody in the NBA was talking about Jimmy Butler. Oh, he showed up drunk at a Timberwolves scrimmage and was jacking up shots and cussing out everybody, you know, and demanding to be traded. And now here he is leading a team full of young players to an NBA Finals. Ron Artest, Dennis Rodman. Oh, all these guys. Oh, man, it's like they're not done. They had bad days. And if you provide the right culture, if you give them the right opportunity, you know, these things can pay off big time.
Would you think that the Ravens have a better culture than what you have?
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's my worry. You know, and I understand what you're saying, and it's not wrong. You know,
yeah.
I just kind of, you know, maybe it's one of those things where when you're winning, it's like you can put up with it. You know, Pittsburgh did a great job of hiding about a lot of things about Antonio Brown that we didn't know about. They just kept winning and winning and, you know, and then we can't do this anymore.
And to be fair, maybe Earl Thomas isn't that good. You know, what you were saying earlier about how busted the coverages could be, and that maybe he's not the great diagnoser, but what'd you say, he's more of a feel player?
Yeah, there's guys that play on field. They'll say that about Troy Polamalu. They'll say about Ed Reed. Sometimes these guys think like, okay, I'm supposed to do this in the scheme, but you know what? I have a feeling they're going to throw the ball right here, or they're going to run the ball right here. And those guys that play safety, a lot of those guys play on feel. And he was, you know, those guys I mentioned were some of the best when it came to that.
Okay, Jerry's quote, I also am interested in proving this team. Right now, I am. There's so many interesting layers to this. And, Jeff, I saw you tweet there at the break, Cedric Wilson for Taylor Rapp, who says no. And I guess
somebody told me that Rams' other safety that was getting some playing time over Rapp got hurt, and so they probably wouldn't move him. I don't know.
That's the kind of player you're looking to make a move for, though.
Brian's trying to trade one of my receivers to try to improve the secondary. So if I could find a way to get a guy who's cheap for years and you could use this this little hot streak of Cedric Wilson's to make it happen, who's down for that? Anybody?
I'm in, man. I'd do it. You still have Noah Brown. Right now you have five NFL-level wide receivers. And, Jeff, are you prepared to eat some crow for Brian Broaddus, who has been trying to tell us Cedric Wilson was going to make it happen? Even before they drafted CeeDee Lamb, he was going to be their third wide receiver. He's proven it, hasn't he?
Cedric has played well, but Brian had him going for 1,900 yards. And so I just wanted to slow that down a little bit. I think it would be hard to be disappointed in any receiver on the Cowboys roster to this point.
I think he's averaging 40 yards a catch right now, am I not
mistaken?
Yeah,
no kidding. I didn't know he was a tackle-breaking machine that was going to take every time he got the ball to the house. I will say this. Hey, Dalton Schultz, if you are not going to finish plays for me and if I don't trust the way you're reading a defense and some of your routes, I'll run four wide receivers out here.
Let's go.
Because Cedric Wilson is showing you might have another weapon sitting there on the bench every time Dalton Schultz is on the field.
Absolutely.
I hear you. Yeah. Okay, Clarence Hill quoting Jerry, you can change personnel, but you might change the future structure of the roster, so that's a high price to pay. He's talking money there. That's Jerry Jones letting you know money is a factor with Earl Thomas. If we give him four, we're over. Now we got to do other weird stuff or cut somebody, renegotiate a contract. They're really walking on thin ice with the Rona revenue a factor and with Dak Prescott at, you know, $37 million on the franchise tag next year. I think they're only looking at guys like, okay, we'll do it if we go super cheap. That's why Ron Leary was like, oh, cool, I'm coming to the Cap. What? You're offering me what? I'm 31 years old. I can improve your running game, and you want to give me that? Not worth it to get
so, 40 car wrecks a day. You're unemployed. You're making zero.
Well, Yeah, Ron Leary gave him a break the first time, though. You remember that? He gave him a break on the first couple years he was in the league, and you're like, or first couple years he was with the Cowboys, and all of a sudden you're like going, okay, and then they said, well, I need to get paid. And he's like, okay, bye. I mean, they sent him on his way. So.
I think the Cowboys want these guys. They just don't want to loosen up the purse strings at all. They're just managing the budget and maybe coming off an 8-8 year and not with a 1-2 team now. Maybe they're thinking, it ain't worth it. Earl's not making us a Super Bowl team. You know, we've built this team. If this isn't good enough, then – you know, throwing Earl Thomas on top of it will probably just cause us more headaches. And I wouldn't blame him too much. But then at the same time saying, if he's willing to come for very, very cheap, fine. But we're not taking any of our future salary cap space that we can roll over from this year into next year to bring in a guy to save a team under 500. I could totally see that line of thinking up there.
Yeah, tell these guys that are on the streets, you're on the streets. If you're not going to play for cheap, I've got a lot of this money that we got laying around is earmarked for my quarterback.
Yeah.
He's more important than you. He's more important than 20 of you.
Well, Jerry also told you the offensive line ain't looking the same. Well, you know, he told you get ready for the one good guy and four other guys. You know, the all pro offensive linemen are no longer around.
Whose offensive line looks good with their fourth and fifth offensive tackles?
Oh, nobody.
Anybody
does.
In the league?
No, you're right. You're absolutely right. I mean,
tell you what though, I think that the Connor Williams is going to turn out to be a miss of a pick.
I don't know how
you could keep watching these games and think that he's going to come around at some point. I think so. Now you got question mark at left tackle. Who's going to play and is he good enough? You got question mark at left guard, which for me is not a question. He's not good enough. At right tackle, who's playing it? You were thinking you needed to survive the first 3 weeks of the season. And then Lyle Collins comes off of IR, and you got Lyle and Tyron and Zach Martin, and I don't care who the other two are. I am balling. And now you got Zach Martin. And the question is, should he play his position or someone else's? And the rest is like, oh, God, please.
I'll tell you where I was wrong coming out of camp. I don't know what they think of Connor McGovern.
Well, yeah, because there's no way you don't hear his name.
Yeah, I mean,
by
not
now,
at all. Not
with the way
all.
Connor Williams is playing.
Yeah.
The fact that you haven't heard McGovern's name, it's one of those things where people
they
ask
had to
about
move
guys
Joe Looney
the,
from center.
Yeah.
I mean,
and people ask about guys all the time, right? Donovan Wilson is another guy that people ask about, where it's like, oh, why isn't he on the field? Well, because the coaches see practice, we don't. You know, I can tell you what I thought. I can tell you what I thought of Connor McGovern as a college player, and I thought that he was going to be an NFL starter and a decent one.
Yeah.
I thought that's what he was going to be. But you have to at some point trust that the coaching staff is watching them every day, and we haven't heard a peep about Connor McGovern, which means and they know how Connor Williams is playing.
Yeah.
They know that every time they try to run the ball to the right, Connor Williams can't make the reach block to give you any sort of hole or any sort of cutback lane. They know what they're getting out of their current players. The fact that we haven't even heard McGovern's name from a coach means they've seen nothing from him.
The Connor brothers need some help from you-know-who. Vitamin T.
Yep, I hear you. Yep, swing by Men's T Clinic. You know, just get your numbers right. Get them up there.
Well, you know, Men's T would be a good start. That'd be a good start. I don't know if the kind of things that I'm talking about are necessarily health insurance approved.
DECA plus Winstrol, little HGH,
hey,
and a protein shake.
A big career might await.
It's going to be disappointing that you used a second-round pick on Connor Williams. You used a – McGovern was what, a four?
Third.
Or four?
Third.
A third.
Mm-hmm.
You used a two and a three, And so far, it looks like you didn't find a capable NFL player.
No.
With a two and a three.
Below standard. Okay, it is the G-Bag Nation's Cowboys Twitter. We do it most days during the Cowboys season and even off season as the news continues to crank 24-7, 365 around America's team. Coming up next, it's time for Jeff and Brian's segment of the day. And, gentlemen, where are we headed?
Let's see if I can get cussed out again. I got a shocking Everson Griffin stat, and how this offense might be about to blow up is next.
All right, welcome back, Nation. It's time for Jeff and Brian's segment of the day. And the segment is brought to you by Rubin and Associates. If you're drowning in debt, call our guy Mark Rubin at 1-800-LAWYERS. Mark will talk with you personally, take control of your debt, eliminate your stress, and allow you to live life again. Starts with a simple confidential phone call to Mark Rubin, 1-800-LAWYERS, Rubin and Associates. Now here they are, Kavanaugh and Broaddus.
Je m'appelle Jeffrey.
I'm Brian. It's nice to have you back, Jeffrey.
All right. It's nice to have you back. How was yesterday? You guys survived? I know it's tough without me.
You guys managed
to get it done, though?
Yeah, the head ball coach came on and gave us some content, so we kind of managed.
The head ball coach?
Yeah, McCarthy. Mike McCarthy.
Oh, yeah, appreciate him. So
thought we had Spurrier on there for a second.
I wasn't sure.
That'd be the old ball coach.
Yeah. I didn't know if that was a Gavin Spittle reference, if you guys had him on for the 5 o'clock or what you guys were talking about. This morning, full disclosure, yesterday, thought I had the Rona. Supposed to catch a 8-something a.m. flight out of Colorado to come home. Thought I had the Rona. So I'd self-administered my COVID test.
Unreal.
Which is so awkward.
I still might think you're pregnant. You were ovulating when you left, and you say all types of weird stuff she was bringing to you?
What? Wait, is this about the pink furry handcuffs? Is that why we're pretending?
The last conversation we had.
You thought I was ovulating?
Yeah, I thought you weren't ovulating.
No, I don't think I do that. I'll check. I'll go to the doctor. I do have to schedule
self-administer, yeah.
Yeah, so thought I had the Rona, so I'm driving home. Oh, and on top of that, check this out. If you are not in this area, did you know that not everyone in the country shows a Cowboy game? Probably because I was in Colorado, so on their Fox channel, they were showing the Denver game. Who does that? Even in Colorado, people want to see the Cowboys. They don't want to see Denver. So what I had to do is bootleg a stream, and I was having some buffering issues, and I was breaking the law. And so I saw the game, but I saw the game in a real haggard kind of way. And so this morning it was great because I had time to go through the coach's
tape. So did Xavier Woods. He saw it in a haggard way as well.
Oh, him and Darian Thompson and Jalen Smith and Tyrone Crawford and Everson Griffin and Jordan Lewis
very
and Darryl Worley and Trayvon Diggs.
They
all saw it in a pretty haggard way.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to see it this morning, and I was like, okay, good. I'll actually get to spend the proper amount of time that this game needs in order to talk to the Tolos about what went down. And the guy that yelled at me on Twitter, Everson Griffin, I found a really neat stat this morning that someone tagged me in because through 3 weeks of the season, they have now created the graphics for your pass rush win rate and your run stop win rate for guys who play on the edge, defensive ends, outside linebackers. Now, in order to have a, quote, win as a pass rusher, you have to defeat your blocker within 3 seconds, okay? You got
Sounds
three
reasonable.
Seconds, yeah. Defeat your blocker, and that is a win. The guys who are at the very top of the league are winning almost 40% of the time. T.J. Watt, Brian Burns, Brandon Graham, some of these guys, Myles Garrett, 30 up towards 40% of the time is how often those edge rushers are winning as a pass rusher. Where is Everson Griffin on the chart is my question to you guys. Give me a ballpark percentage. For a reference point, Benson Mayoa is at 15%. That's how often he wins as a pass rusher. Joey Bosa, 25%. Who's Allen?
Joey Bosa is 25%?
Allen. Joey Bosa is at 25%. J.J. Watts at 30%.
The guy
Khalil Max at 30%. Who's the guy in Jacksonville?
Josh Allen.
Josh Allen.
Okay, yeah, that's probably Josh Allen there at like 18%, which looks like it's about league average is 18% there. Everson Griffin, his pass rush win rate is what?
Well, based on the way you talked him up when they signed him, I'm going to go with, let's go 24%, Jeff.
Okay, that's a good responsible guess. I like that. You going to price his right him here, Brian?
Yeah, I'm going to go real low. I'm going to say he's somewhere probably around 8%.
That is not how you price is right somebody, dude.
I'm going way low.
No, he goes 24, you go 23.
I'm not.
You could also do the price is right where you do one, you know,
no,
without going over.
I'm just going to guess my number and say
8%. Oh, yeah, I guess price is right if you're over, you lose,
yeah,
right?
You're right. Yeah.
All right.
Right.
Well, let me spoil it for you. You both lose then in price is right rules. 8 was too high. Try again.
Wrong,
I'm going to give each of you another guess. That's how generous I'm feeling on a return to sports Tuesday.
3%.
Ooh.
Then the price is right, you would both lose again.
Oh, no.
So I would like you to try again. Everson Griffin is 0%.
Oh, no.
The only man in the league who has not won on a pass rush rep the entire season, according to the chart. So for anybody out there, you random basement blogger who told me he's been great, check these stats. 0! He has not defeated a pass blocker the entire season. He's been awesome. Don't come at me if we're talking about the tape. Don't come at me on a Monday, on a Tuesday. I just got a Rona test that was not positive. It was negative. I'm in a good spot. Don't try to tell me what's what when we're watching the Cowboys and analyzing players. Everson Griffin needs to get it together and find a way to get after a quarterback because through 3 weeks, 0 pass rush wins. Congrats on your coverage sack, though, that blogger boy wanted to tell me made him amazing. And I love bloggers, for the record. I go on podcasts with pretty much everyone who reaches out to me. I love me a good blogger, but if you are out there coming for the king, the tape watching king, well, second king on this show.
No,
you better
you're the
watch
first king. You're
maybe
the GM. I'm
king.
Just a scout.
Maybe third king, because now
this
Gavin's dipping into the all 22.
Yeah, Gavin might be the real general manager here.
Might be the third. You got me sweating over here with my flu. This is my flu game, I guess.
Yeah.
Unnamed blogger you're going after. I like this little media watchdog, little anonymous media watchdog.
Well,
kind of like AI going after Whitlock.
Just call him out, Jeff.
I don't even remember his name. Blocked him. He was some idiot.
Okay.
That's why I don't read the newspaper.
That wrote for a blog that's got some good people working there and some idiots. Hmm. So that's the way that goes.
Worth paper?
It's none of your business, Brian.
Oh, okay.
Okay?
Well,
I
do
appreciate
you
prying.
This is why the Cowboys have been resistant to older veterans. You know, you can hit a wall, especially on the defensive line. There's positions where you get a weird off season or you just turn old all of a sudden. You can't do jack. Is that what happened, you think? Or do you see enough in there that you have faith for the remaining 13 games?
I've seen nothing. I'm going to start with that. I've seen nothing from Everson Griffin that makes me think he's going to be good this year. The only thing that makes me think that it could still happen is his resume. Yeah. And the fact that it wasn't that long ago that he was still good. So I think what happened is, and I think this might have happened to Lyle Collins, and I think this might have happened to a lot of football players, is before this season started with the COVID thing, I think there was enough uncertainty that for a lot of people, preparation wasn't what it needed to be.
Yeah.
And you show up, and now not only have you probably not prepared the way you would have for a normal season, you also don't have the same preparation in your camp that you would have for a normal season. So for Everson Griffin, can he come around and become a good player for them? I think I've seen zero evidence through 3 weeks.
Yeah, the thing I would worry about, General, is he went a long time without anybody signing him. As a matter of fact, there were people you talked to, a lot of teams said, no, we're just going to move on. So I think Jeff's on to something here. But what I worried about was him starting really well and then fizzling out. But he hasn't started well at all, of course, by the numbers and what we're seeing on the tape. So that in itself, I mean, there's Minnesota games you could watch him, and he was a dominant player. The way he was going about his job, it's not even the same guy. And I think that's really what disheartening. But Jeff could be very well onto something about this whole thing in prep and him signing late and not having a training camp and all that thing to kind of, you know, preseason games and stuff.
So for the Cowboys, I still think that they are in line by the end of the year to be a very good football team. And
no,
by the
not.
Way, at 1-2, do you know their percentage to win the division?
61.
78.
70. They have 70% chance to win the division, according to the computers, at 1-2. Now, whatever. Nobody wants to win a division at 7-9 or 8-8, but I'm telling you, it's inevitable. The Cowboys are going to win the division no matter how terrible they are. But what you have to get going if you're going to make real noise in the postseason is one part of this we think will come around, right, which is the offensive line. You're going to get Tyron Smith back, so that by itself helps.
A lot.
So I think that's going to come around. The two things that you really need to have come around that I don't know if they will is the secondary, which, shoot, I mean, you want to talk about the avalanche of injuries. You didn't have Anthony Brown or Cheeto in that game either.
Yeah.
And say what you want about them, they're probably your two best corners. The whole world's been talking up Trayvon Diggs, and I'll be honest, the reason the whole world's talking up Trayvon Diggs is because he plays hard.
He does.
He's a ball guy.
He does.
He hadn't covered well at all as an NFL player
That's
yet.
Fair.
And I also told people to expect that. Second-round rookies aren't going to step in and be locked-down corners. I like the fight in him. I like the way he plays, and I think he's going to turn into a good player. But right now, you're missing your top two corners, two of your best offensive linemen, your tight end's gone. Like, holy cow, our pets' heads are falling off for the Cowboys. But what I meant to do here is focus on, okay, how does it come around? And with the secondary, I don't think it does. I don't think your players are good enough for you to have a decent NFL secondary.
Well, Jeff, and you weren't with us yesterday, but and I'll ask you this question. How do they get them off the field 8 of 13 times?
Okay, so
I mean, and the times they didn't, the times they didn't, there were some huge busts.
Yeah.
You know, you have to worry about that. But, it, you know, is...
I think that's a really interesting question because I think individually the players aren't very good, but somehow collectively there have been a decent number of stops. Like, there was a lot of possessions in that game. I know they gave up a ton of points, but there were a lot of possessions in that game. But I don't know. I guess I would say I just don't think that's sustainable because of... Like, tell me on the Autoflex Leasing fan text, 877-881-1053, name me the good starters on the Cowboys defense.
Alden Smith.
Yes, I'll say yes. He has four sacks, and he made a lot of really big plays. But even, he's not consistently whipping offensive tackles. But he's doing enough to be your one good pass rusher. So I'll grant you Alden Smith. Give me another quality NFL starter on defense.
I don't think I have one for you, Jeff.
Maybe Tank.
I was going to throw that out there, but then I thought you were going to slam that back in my face.
No, because I think Tank, and people tried to fight me on this today, where it's like I wasn't even watching to watch Tank. I know what Tank is. So I'm trying to watch other things, and Tank still pops off the tape on plays where he dominates as a run defender. You don't pay $20 million for run defense, but he's dominating as a run defender. And he's banged up. He was playing limited snaps. But I would even grant you him. And then I think you're done. I think it's the end of your list. So, like, it is weird that they've cobbled together these times to get him off the field. They've kind of figured out a way to do it. And it's like whatever part of your defense fails you at one moment, the other one suddenly plays well. Like, I'm killing the secondary, right? I don't think they have a single good corner as of today on the roster. Not one. But there's a lot of plays in that game against Seattle where you're sitting there watching Russ for 8 seconds, and I'm like, dude, if he's still holding the ball, you're managing to cover. Somebody get home.
Well, okay.
And they won't.
Do we play? Okay, we're talking the offense up. They gave him, what, 9 points off the safety? They gave him the short field for the touchdown? You know, you missed 2 extra points? Did the defense play well enough to win that game with all the problems that they had?
If the offense was a juggernaut, then the defense played well enough to win the game. For most teams, hell no, the defense didn't play well enough.
No,
to win
and they
game.
Had so many huge mistakes in that game. But offensively, you gave them a safety, you gave them a short field, you missed 2 extra.
That goes back to something we haven't even talked about. Teams don't look fixed, do they?
No, that's
Tony Pollard's just fumble farting the ball around on the 1-inch line, and you can't kick extra points.
I'm just looking for hope with the defense. I'm looking for hope.
And that's
The hope is that your pass rushers turn into that squad, and you can build a lead early.
There you go.
Play from ahead.
There you go.
So I did mean to get there because here I didn't mean to just tee off on the whole team. I apologize.
It was nice though.
My hope for the defense is Tank's banged up and he's still a good football player. He's got to get back to getting after the passer better. Alden Smith's second sack, he owes Tank Lawrence money for.
He does.
Tank won and made Russ eat the ball and run forward into a sack by Alden Smith. The other two Alden got by himself. Alden bats a ball down. Alden chases down Russell Wilson and makes him throw a ball into the ground with a QB hit. So Alden Smith is there, and he's ready to be a part of that. Tank Lawrence is still a good player and hopefully can become part of that. I tell you, the only defensive tackle that I think can become a part of pass rushing is Tristan Hill.
Tristan. There you go.
Yeah.
If you watch him every play, you won't come out of the game and go, heck yeah, that's a good NFL player, because it's not consistent enough yet. But you watch select plays and you go, that is the one D tackle on this team that's got some juice. He can make it happen with some pop in his hands. He can get slippery. He can get into the backfield. So other than that, I think you wait for week 7. I think the answer to your pass rush is going to show up in week 7, and it's Randy Gregory. And because Everson Griffin, over the age of 30, might not be able to just show up and be what he once was, I think Randy Gregory can just show up and be what he was, because that's the level of athleticism that he has.
Yeah.
So I think the answer to your pass rush is let's go Tank. Hopefully Everson Griffin, but I'm not banking on it. So come on, Tank. Keep growing Tristan Hill and hurry up week 7. I need you, Randy Gregory. That's my hope for the Cowboys defense.
Maybe Everson, you know, saw that on the other side of 30, you really got to be on it the entire offseason. And maybe the corona did trip him up a little bit. Yeah. And by the time we get to midseason, maybe he can play himself into shape. I mean, we've seen it with a much younger man in Zeke, you know, require the last couple of seasons a month or so to get there. So it wouldn't be unheard of. You're right, there's so much good recent play with Everson. But, yeah, be the kind of defense that if you have a lead, you can torment the opposing quarterback as they're trying to play comeback. I think that might be the formula if they can pull it together. Coming up next, it's time to go around the NFL and what the NFL might do with Titans-Steelers as there's a potential Rona outbreak in Tennessee is next in the nation. All right, a big day of news here in the NFL as the virus has reached facilities in a significant way for the first time. Let's do that and more as we go around the NFL here on your home of the Cowboys. Okay, first down here, the Titans closed their facilities until Saturday. 3 players, 5 team personnel members testing positive for the virus. The NFL announcing today. Starting nose tackle Daquan Jones, long snapper Bo Brinkley, practice squad tight end Tommy Hudson have all been placed on the reserve COVID-19 list. No official decision has been made about the game for Sunday. They do play the Steelers in a big AFC showdown in Nashville. The NFL, though, according to Adam Schefter, does want to and intends at this point to have the game played as scheduled with a contingency plan that could do Monday night. So,
can I tell you, is it weird that I'm relieved to hear that an NFL team has corona on it? Because there was a part of my brain that was like, hold on, how is this the only organization in the world that doesn't have anybody getting the coronavirus?
Yeah.
Are we fudging a little bit here because we want to play? And that's also the reason that I think they'll figure out how to play this, whether it's Sunday, whether it's Monday. They'll figure out if there's any way possible. The NFL is going to figure out how to get all these games in, how to get on TV for all these games. They're chasing their money, and they're going to get it. But I just, you know, we've given 56.4 million tests, and ain't that a B? No, yeah, positives.
You're right, like, well, about hold that. On now. I want to believe that everybody involved has been so responsible, and
right,
they know what's on the line, and it's their money, so they've been extra, extra careful. But I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, there's a little bit of fudging going on. But I just think that could be so disastrous if you did fudge, and then you go into a game, and it blows up across multiple teams. And I do think they're fortunate that it has come early in the week.
And the theory that was in my head, it would never blow up. Because that would be ignored too. But that was a theory in my head. It's not an accusation.
I can't rule it out. You know how powerful money is, and when things get weird and when, you know, rights get abused, it usually is with billions of dollars on the line. So you can't rule it out. I mean, they covered up the concussion data. You know, big tobacco covered up cancer for like a half century. So
idiots.
It wouldn't be out of, you know, the run of of what normal things are, you know, when it comes to this kind of money involved. But, you know, I just think it's fortunate it's happening early in the week, because now you have a chance to wait until Saturday or Sunday and see if anybody else gets it. You know, you get the players with Rona out of there. 5 or 6 days go by, you have the instant result tests, and I think you're going to be real confident by the time you get to Sunday, or if it takes Monday, that none of these guys have corona. We have contained it once again. If we wake up tomorrow, though, and they keep rolling in like they did with the Cardinals, then I think you have an interesting situation on your hands. And what do you do if you're the NFL?
Right.
You don't want to do what MLB did. I think you got to look at, you know, we're pushing back the Super Bowl a little bit. Maybe, you know, we're going to have to work on playing on a bye week, or work on creating a week 18 or maybe week 19 scenario. So, but I think we're on the same page that they'll do whatever it takes to get the games in. I just think, like, maybe adding a week to be careful and contain it is probably, you know, a big part of the plans. But the commissioner says this is not unexpected. There will be players and staff who will test positive during the season. I know a lot of high school parents, a lot of youth sports parents, as we're going into the fall now, this is the month that in 1918, the second wave went bonanza, right, with the Spanish flu. So are we going to maintain the same basic infection rates? If so, we got it, you know. But if something significantly changes here as we get into the month of October, then a lot of plans could be altered significantly. I'm having a great time, you know, being able to coach again, being able to watch sports on TV. Other than going into work and assembling in big crowds, it feels somewhat normal. And the thought of going back to where we were from March to July, I want nothing to do with that. So fingers crossed. All right, around the NFL here on DFW Sports Station. Who wants second down? Broadus, you got it?
I'll take it. How about this? Reached out to some folks down in Houston about the Earl Thomas workout. And was told it was not a good fit and nor worth it, was the message that I got back from them.
That's the second part is money.
Yeah.
If it's not worth it, that's money.
Yeah. So,
and man, how did they find out the fit part? Did they meet with him? They just didn't do the workout part?
What I was told, like I said, that was the main part of the information. And so I'm thinking, well, wait a minute. You guys brought him in, or you were thinking about bringing him in. So
to me it sounds like
the fit part of it was an excuse. Okay. The not worth it part is the money. So this guy's not a cryptic kind of guy, but I have a feeling that the more that they did research on the not worth it part is not worth it, meaning the money part of it.
Could it also mean the baggage?
I don't think so. Because they were committed, you know, and I'll dig in a little bit further with this guy on the way home. I just tried to make it real quick. I know we had this coming up.
Appreciate you.
But he was pretty much saying that to me that, you know, that the not worth it part is the money. That's where we're at right there. That Earl, obviously, they're asking for more than they were willing to do. And again, if they're in a situation where they don't have a real general manager on that team, so the non-fit part. Is a little bit of a thing I have to dig in a little further on.
So, you know, this is where I think Earl Thomas' agent has to explain to him what station he's at now in his career.
Yeah.
You know, you were at a place where you could demand top dollar in years and all that. And, you know, over the last 15 months, your value has deteriorated, not only on the field with what people are saying about your ability to play the position, but your image as a professional is shattered. And the only way out of it is with a year on a team without distractions. You know, maybe Antonio Brown's now getting close to getting that second chance because he's been distraction-free off the field for 6-7 months. But, you know, if he's still looking for money, you know, with anywhere close to what he got going into the 2019 season, there's no team that's going to be willing to do that.
He could also be making his price so high that he's showing teams he's willing to play, but he's waiting on the Cowboys. He could be in a situation like, you know what, I'm going to keep making my price high. I know I have a grievance against the Ravens that I could probably win here and get that money back. But I have a feeling he's buying his time to see if Jerry can convince everybody in this building to sign him. That would be my guess.
All right. Well, as long as he's still out there, the Cowboys do have time on their side. Bullet dodged if you want Earl Thomas. Here's Jeff with third down.
Okay, third down is this is Cowboy Kool-Aid for you. Get you some of the blue stuff in your cup. Philadelphia,
give me some silver too.
Philadelphia Eagles. They've had another injury, gentlemen. Oh, no. Tight end Dallas Goedert fracture in his ankle.
Ooh.
Out indefinitely. So he's going to hit the IR, which means at least 3 weeks. The word indefinitely always confuses me. So he's either out for 3 weeks or his career's over or something in between. But at least 3 weeks for Dallas Goedert, who's turned into a heck of a player for the Philadelphia Eagles. So Carson Wentz loses another weapon. Jalen Reagor is still out with a tear in his thumb. DeSean Jackson hurt his hamstring on Sunday. He's considered day-to-day. Alshon Jeffrey still has the Liss Frank going on. So they've got a banged-up offensive line. They've got even more banged-up weapons now. And their quarterback is playing like hot, hot garbage so far this year. I wanted to put that in context for everybody with Wentz. So I pulled up the current QBR for NFL quarterbacks this year, your total QBR. Not quarterback, not passer rating, because that stat is outdated. We're trying to get better, folks. But total QBR. Dak is eighth this year right now in total QBR. Where is Carson Wentz is my question for you, gents.
32nd.
Oh, good guess. You're in the ballpark. But
you know I do my Wentz research.
He's not 32nd.
Here we go. I'll go 29.
You hit the nail on the head,
oh,
sir.
There we go.
He is 29th. Somehow they do not list 32 players, so I'm going to have to go figure out which quarterback doesn't even get to be on the list. But they have 31 listed here. Carson Wentz is 29th of the 31 listed. Now, for bonus points, let's do the rest of the division. Where's Dwayne Haskins?
28th.
26.
31st. He's dead last.
Oh.
Carson Wentz, 29. Dwayne Haskins, 31. Where is Daniel Jones?
30.
27.
He's 25. So the other quarterbacks in your division are 25, 29, 31. Get ready to win the division at 5-11, baby. It's going down this year. This division's a train wreck.
It could be a record-setting season in that regard, and that would be equal parts depressing because you wouldn't get your good draft pick. You'd be you'd be down there in the 20s.
Philly tied the Bengals.
Cincinnati should have won that game.
They played 15 minutes of overtime and couldn't kick a field goal. 10 minutes of overtime and couldn't kick a field goal. They played ring around midfield. Stupid game.
Here's a question that had my mentions triggered like a mofo all day long. I asked on Twitter, is Dak as good as Russell Wilson?
Oh.
How many Cowboy fans believe he's there? The answer might surprise you. That's coming up next in the nation.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.